Can a big bank get even bigger? It's up to the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, the Federal Reserve is expected to vote on a big bank merger. Capital One wants to link up with the internet bank ING Direct in a $9 billion deal. But as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, there are concerns about the combined company being just too big.
Capital One may be best known for its Viking commercials.
What's in your wallet?
The deal would make Capital One the nation's fifth largest credit card lender. Jesse Van Tol is spokesman for the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, a group of consumer and civil rights organizations opposed to the deal. He says Capital One is less diversified than its competitors, with roughly 75% of its profits coming from credit cards.
Capital One is more likely to fail than some of its competitors because of the nature of its very risky credit card business.
Others say the Federal Reserve needs to complete the Wall Street reforms it started. Chris Cole is with the Independent Community Bankers of America.
They need to finalize all the Dodd-Frank regulation and be able to evaluate the full systemic risk of all these large banks before they begin creating new ones.
If the Capital One deal goes forward, opponents say taxpayers could be on the hook for another bank considered too big to fail. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
This week, the new government of Spain is expected to announce a set of sweeping labor reforms. The government wants to give businesses more power to hire and fire and set employee salaries. Spain had a 23% unemployment rate at the end of last year. Let me just repeat that again, 23%. Two people who are living that are Elena Prensa and Ana Diaz. They're with us now from Madrid. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Ana, let me start with you. Tell us about your situation and what's happened with your employment.
Well, I used to work at an NGO. This NGO in particular depended mostly on government funds, and they had to fire people, but I volunteered to be fired because at the time I had a little girl and I wanted to spend more time with her. And I never thought it would be hard to find work later.
And Elena, tell me about your situation.
Well, I am unemployed for 2 weeks. And, I've been working my whole life. This is the first time that I am unemployed. Now I am going to take a big rest. I don't want to think about it too deeply, you know.
Ana, let me go back to you. Tell us what it's like in Spain right now with an unemployment rate that high.
I think the key to understanding that high unemployment rate is you have to understand in Spain there's a huge black market economy. In the U.S., people are very law-abiding. In Spain, culturally, people are not especially law-abiding. Hmm. It's not uncommon for somebody to be legally living off unemployment and then unofficially getting money from some other job that they're not declaring.
So, Elena, is that your sense as well, that the situation really isn't so bad, that people are able to get work, they have a safety net from the government with this unemployment, and things are not really so bad?
Yes, I totally agree with her. I think there is a big, big black market.
The U.S. has about an 8.5% unemployment rate right now. Spain, as we said, has an unemployment rate of higher than 20%. But do you think, Ana, we'll start with you, that life is better there or here right now?
I think social services are very important, and I think the U.S. lacks those social services. So I would say life is better in Spain because you have health care. You know, if your kids get sick, you know you're going to be able to take them to the doctor for free. You have those safety nets, which I think that's essential to a good life.
Elena, what about you? Do you think life is better in the United States or in Spain right now?
I wouldn't mind to stay there in America for 1 year, maybe 2 years. And I will apply for this job there if I had the opportunity to do it. But I'm Spanish, and I love the Spanish culture. It's very deep inside me.
Elena Prensa and Ana Diaz joining us from Madrid. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you to you.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, up more than 1% in Tokyo and about 0.5% higher in Frankfurt. Also higher, visits to Disney theme parks, which the company says were up 3% at the end of last year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow inched up 33 points to close at 12,878.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location offering a workforce that's well-educated, smart, and driven. More at investni.com/invest. By GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com.
Grand Canyon National Park is about to stop selling bottled water. A fifth of the canyon's waste is from plastic bottles. But the ban is not going down well with everyone, as Scott Tong reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
The ban follows an activist and corporate tug-of-war and some pretty interesting emails about Coca-Cola. You see, Coke sells Dasani bottled water, and it's donated $13 million to national parks. More than a year ago, the head of the National Park Service seemed nervous about the ban in an email. Quote, "There are going to be consequences since Coke is a major sponsor." Coke officials complained the ban was disturbing. Then, last June, the service director caved, argues Jeff Rook at the nonprofit Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility.
Consumer choice was going to be the policy, and that is exactly the line that the bottlers have been using. Consumer choice is for shopping malls, not for national parks.
His group released the emails in November, at which point angry activists launched a petition campaign. The new ban means they win for now. If there's a backlash from Coke or other sponsors, parks could face money shortages at a time when taxpayer money is tight. For the record, a Coke spokesperson says the company's support will continue. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, we've heard about trucks crashing and spilling ice cream or olive oil or pumpkins at Halloween. Well, in Germany yesterday morning, a truck spilled what only a German truck could, sauerkraut, all over the highway. And since it's below freezing there, the sauerkraut froze to the road, causing a major traffic jam. The pickled cabbage had to be scraped off before cars could pass. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
There's been a lot of belt tightening since the economy went bad, quite literally, as it turns out.
When times are bad, people get healthier over many dimensions, and there seems to be a reduction in obesity when the economy weakens.
I'm Kai Rizdal, fighting obesity the Freakonomics way. We'll have that and the news from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.